The day has finally arrived. We are actually at the launch of Sci-Fi Scarborough. Technically it launched yesterday, of course, Friday. And finally, in person, I'm meeting the legend that is Steve Dickerton. Steve, how are you?
Legend, that's I like being called that. Not very often, though, certainly. Yeah, I'm great, thanks. Yeah, we spent the whole day setting up yesterday. It's all looking really good. And yeah, we're ready for the doors to open at 10.
I'm very impressed with the way that you got your orchestra to actually provide this wonderful, heroic, triumphant march for yourself, Steve. It's very good.
It's very rousing. It's certainly making me feel the part. Very exciting indeed.
Now, looking around, I can see, obviously, the early traders beginning to establish themselves. We're hopefully going to do a bit of a round robin and a usual audio promenade with this. This is a fantastic location. I mean, you defined it recently as being a bit like a spaceship landing in Scarborough, and it is, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. It's like a great big crash spaceship. We love it. When we had the idea originally to do it, I was like, there's only one location in Scarborough, and it's a big one, and it's a scary one. But if we're going to do it, we have to do it there, because... A sci-fi convention should be spectacular, and I think this year we might have just to pull the spectacular off, I think.
Well, we're looking forward to having a few words with, obviously, our officially designated Star Trek correspondent, Larry Nemechek, who's here. I think he's been in York, as you said earlier. Particularly interested, obviously, comparing the meteorological conditions, because I thought LA and Scarborough this morning is indistinguishable, really.
It is, yeah. We've seen the American guests. They all came in on Thursday and flew in, and they are... They're cold.
It's a strange planet for them, let's face it.
Yeah, it is. It's like a different alien world that they've been transported to by accident. And it's the northeast coast. And that wind, because the venue's right by the sea, we can see it out the doors as we look now. And it's right up against the walls, splashing over and soaking all the cars and rotting them. And they're feeling the cold. They've all got extra blankets.
if they're looking from the acting side of things, and Richard Hatch was obviously developing a masterclass yesterday, this is really what they need. This is method acting carried to its logical extent.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They've got to... they've got to pretend that they're warm. But when we close the doors, actually, when we finish loading in, it will warm up dramatically in here. The heating system's incredible because it's the original one from when it was built. So it's extremely hardy and extremely hot. But yeah, we've been teaching them some Yorkshireisms as well. Like Ebar Gum and Blimey Our Lad and all that, and there's stuff like that, you know.
Ecky Thump, perhaps?
Ecky Thump, yeah, and because they're actors, they can get the straight away. They get it. You know, Garrett got it on Skype a couple of months ago when we talked to Garrett Wang on Skype, and he instantly picked up our Yorkshire accent and did it, and we laughed and cried.
It's wonderful. Now, again, just like outlining this whole thing, people might be listening to this, and there's still a day to go. If people are interested in the Game of Thrones Day, which, of course, is tomorrow, but we won't actually be around, that can people still turn up at the gate?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, they could turn up. Buy tickets on the door and come in and meet three lovely cast members from Game of Thrones, as well as the other 10 amazing guests we have today, which is amazing. This is the most guests we've had, by the way, since we started, and it's been logistically fun dealing with them, but just getting them into hotels and stuff, but it's done and they're all happy and we've had no complaints, touch wood.
Which is always good, because in many ways, actually, on a serious note, yeah, you're ambassadors for England as well as Scarborough at events like this.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, what you really want is for them to go back to the US and tell everyone what a great time they had, not just in the UK, but in Scarborough, because Scarborough is an amazing place. They love it.
Steve, I know that there's messages coming through. You're going to be scooting off to do a whole variety of other things. I'm going to hopefully touch base with some of our colleagues in the near future. Keep folk going as far as life is concerned. Sci-Fi Scarborough, it's going to be a fantastic day, a fantastic event, and I have to say congratulations to yourself and Andy and the whole team for really coordinating an absolutely sensational thing, and I'm saying that just having experienced the first 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head there. It is a team effort.
Andy's just walked by, actually.
Yeah, Andy has walked by. He's got a problem. There's always a problem to sort out.
It's a challenge, Steve. That's the whole thing. Challenge as opposed to problem.
As I say, it is a team effort, and our team have been amazing this year, and there's a lot of them behind the scenes, and they're unsung heroes, and I'd just like to thank them all personally.
Tell you what, Steve, just to make sure that everything is sorted through, when we've actually calmed down and we do a postscript on this, you can do a full list and we'll give them a full name check on air.
Oh, blimey, I'd love to. Yeah.
And our first interviewee is going to be a young lady who's actually already sorting out a matter of things for her partner, and her name is?
It's Helen Farr.
Helen, delighted to touch base with you yourself. I'm looking at some fantastic images here, which kind of go from classic Frankenstein to variations of The Shining and Jack Nicholson to all sorts. Share with us what we've got here in terms of these fabulous prints.
Well, it's all artwork done by my partner, Drupal Ambolmec. who's creating Stank Road comics. So some of the things you'll see here are actually characters from his upcoming comic book series. Some, obviously, like you say, are the classic horror creatures, but it's just anything creepy and unusual, it certainly finds its way onto our stall.
Now, is that also tied in with sort of sacred comics in Middlesbrough at all?
No, it's based in Doncaster.
That's okay, then. Excellent. And presumably for folk who are listening to this who can't actually get to the event itself, you've got an online facility and a website.
Yes, you can contact us on Facebook through Stank Road Comics at Facebook or through Paul's personal
website indeed, which I suppose is all sorted through there, which presumably is Drew Paul. That's Drew Paul.
Amblemeck is how it's pronounced, yes.
Amblemeck. A-N-B-L-E-M-E-K. I was actually trying to read upside down, but thankfully Helen actually turned the thing up there because I just can't multitask these days. Helen, delighted to touch base with yourself. Have a great event.
Thank you very much.
And just as we actually said the magic words, Drew Paul Amblebeck, he's turned up. He's here, he's sorted through. Drew, we've just been commenting on the fabulous range that you've actually got here. I didn't realise there was so much creativity in Doncaster.
There is now.
So were you actually at Sci-Fi Scarborough last year, or is this your first event?
This is my first one this year.
So your thoughts? I mean, I've already been very impressed, as I said to Steve and Andy, at the range and ambition that they've actually got here. So your thoughts from your own perspective?
Yeah, I think it's really good. It's nicely set up. There's plenty of space and they're really friendly too. Yeah, it's good.
You're also ideally positioned, actually, with this stand, just by the stage, so you get a kind of literal, sort of, almost a royal box view of the whole cast.
Yeah, because you can see all the stars as well, which is a bonus. And plus, we're near the exit and the entrance, so, yeah, cool.
And in terms of your own sort of interests, I mean, I suspect there's a kind of mixture of Lovecraftian horror. There's a variety of sort of areas from that perspective. You've got, obviously, Daleks sort of pointing at you from that sort of point of perspective. What are your thoughts in terms of any particular artists that you think, are you more Game of Thrones, Battlestar Galactica, artists, cosplay?
I like them all, really. I'm very, like you say, I'm into all my dark stuff like Lovecraft, but I'm more horror sort of based. But yeah, I love it all. I think it's all good. Doctor Who is fantastic as well, yeah.
Exactly. What's not to love? I mean, whatever, whether you're a Moffat person, whether you're an RT Day person, let's just celebrate the joy of it, shall we?
Yeah, I think it's great. It's good that more people are getting into it as well now. So, I hope it attracts more people as well.
Well, Helen's already capably given away your website, but I think it's always good to actually give your website away one more time. How can people actually reach you on the web?
You can find us mostly on Facebook under Stank Road Comics. We'll be launching a new magazine, which will be in June.
And we move on from an ace artist to literally going down the rabbit hole with the fabulous...
Lindsay.
Lindsay, talk to us about this, because I see a lot of influence of, obviously, the classic Alice in Wonderland scenario here, plus a whole range of other sort of factors, and, obviously, reference to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Welcome to Sunnydale. Enjoy your stay. What have you got here?
Well, to be honest, it started out as jewellery, and it was actually Alice-inspired jewellery, and we moved on to the acrylic jewellery and then the chopping boards, and it's just a chance for me to geek out, which I love doing.
So, looking at the song, it says, shotgun shuts his cake hole, listen to Moose Squirrel. It's amazing. And I'm Batman, which, of course, is the classic Michael Keaton line from that point of view. When events like this come to Scarborough, I mean, initially this is obviously year two of a Sci-Fi Scarborough, you think, what, really? You know, they used to obviously take place in London, Birmingham, San Diego and so on. What are your thoughts of Sci-Fi Scarborough?
I think it's fantastic. It's bringing things like the conventions out to people who wouldn't be able to get down south or over to America and things like that. And it's starting to branch out to the fact where more and more people can get involved. And it's just like involving communities even more rather than alienating them and doing them in certain places that are hard to get to.
Well, the strapline, of course, we do like to geek beside the seaside. Do you have a real-life alter ego, or is it a case of, no, this is a full-time business for yourself?
Yes, this is full-time. It's no better job because I do get to geek out all the time and then go to things like this. And obviously I do sell, but then I do attend and get autographs and photos and things like that.
Very impressed with Steve, of course, of the band. And they just as we talk about Sunnydale, they bring on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme with Nerf Herder in the background there. It's fantastic. It's great stuff. So what are you most looking forward to over the next couple of days?
Just the amount of people, I think, because we did this last year with it being the first year and it was great, the turnout then, but obviously it's grew and the amount of people that are going to be here and the cosplay and things like that, so it's going to be fantastic seeing the people.
I said to Steve that we were very guilty in terms of not covering this last year. I mean, we plugged it a few ways around. This year, we assured that we'd be here. And I have to say, yeah, it's a genuine sort of outstanding scenario and absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and I mean, especially the calibre of guests as well. You've got like the likes of Garrett Wang and things like that, who is a geek superstar. So, yeah, it can only grow and grow and get better and better.
So, as Steve was rightly saying, there's a positive panoply of perfect co-presenters and guests around the whole base here. And we're delighted to be able to speak now to the legendary John Campling. John, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
An early arrival on day one, officially, of the whole sort of sequence. And I do like the line you've got there, don't let the muggles get you down. Share with us some of the ways in which people might sort of think, is it really the John Campling? Well, it is. So, John, share with us.
It really is the John Campling. I'm hoping there is no other John Campling. It's just the John Campling. Come on down if you're coming down today, which... with the rain outside, this is the only place to be, I'm sure.
Well, I was talking with Steve earlier, and we were saying, look, this is perfect method acting scenario. You don't want to spend all your time acting with green screen in Los Angeles or San Diego or other sort of film-based scenarios, etc. You want to come down to where, meteorological conditions are really alien. Get that sense of experience. It's what, the likes of De Niro would actually
Absolutely.
Say. This is essential to
Absolutely.
The whole process.
You need to be surrounded by it. You need to feel it, I mean, I've done both, There's it's an interesting challenge when you have to act with nothing. And, Daniel Radcliffe and the rest of them, a lot of the time, you've got to imagine all that reaction you see, there was nothing there. And that is hard to do. So, I have utmost respect for the performance they do, because it's much easier when there's a real thing there.
Having said, being part of, obviously, the whole Potter experience, and clearly it is the kind of, to the 21st century, I feel what Oz and other sort of areas were to the 19th and
yes.
20th century. I mean,
yes.
it will continue, and the longevity will continue yes. long after we've moved into different dimensions, both of us. But
but
from that point of view, I mean, here we are at, say, Sci-Fi Scarborough. You're in prime position, obviously, from this point of view. There is a sort of magic to the whole convention. I mean, initially, I was talking to colleagues from SFX Magazine and Starburst, saying, you can't possibly have so many conventions, but yet there's a magic that's here.
Yeah. I think it's I've joined it at a good time. So last year was my first ever. Last year at Scarborough was my first ever convention. So that was like 4 years after doing Harry Potter, and I hadn't really crossed my mind, and no one had asked me, and I was oblivious to the world. Really, I still had that misconception of
Josephine Gillam, I spoke to at Doncaster last year. It was her first one there.
Yeah. Yes. And I just was really lucky that I happened to have worked with Virginia Hay and Terry Malloy, and they were being asked to do a panel, and they were looking for a third person, and because I'd worked with them, I got roped in, and I'm eternally grateful that I did. And I was so naive last year, even though I thought I was prepared. I'm so much more prepared this year. But I think since then, I've had so many friends when I've been doing Comic Cons in certain towns, and local friends have said, oh, we'll come and see you. Or even my in-laws and my mum, and they had no idea what to expect, because it's very hard to describe in less than like a 15-minute conversation what a Comic Con is, because it's such a pop culture mishmash.
I get a sense of a whole range of communication subcultures, not too dissimilar to the county shows, the likes of the Great Yorkshire Show Lincolnshire Show, etc., with obviously the great chance to kind of share a whole range of thoughts and ideas.
The overriding ethos to it is, it's nice to be nice. Just being everyone, there's no room for any type of dissension or judgment or anything. It's just not tolerated at all, which is rare. I don't think there are many group events you can go to where you can almost guarantee that you will be welcomed no matter what.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I can endorse that. Having said that, there is a part of me which still says, yes, actually, if you want to have a good snapshot of what a convention might possibly be like, check out Galaxy Quest with the late Alan Rickman.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, no, absolutely.
The moral of the story is, obviously, if somebody comes along today, John, and asks to actually whisk you off into a spacecraft, well, you've got to sort of think very clearly about that offer.
Yeah, well, next it's like, well, I brought this on myself, I saw Galaxy Quest, I knew this could happen. And I think as well, it's moving away from that old idea of, it's a bunch of geeks who never get out, it is so family orientated, and it's multi-gender, it's all inclusive, and there's something for everyone. My father-in-law came to the first one. I did one in Oxford a couple of weeks ago, and he was fascinated by the talented artists who were here. He wasn't interested in meeting any stars or anything, and he came and looked at my table and was like, oh, very nice, but he was in awe of all the amazing artists and cartoonists, and he had no idea what to expect, and he left absolutely amazed by the whole thing. So if anyone's in doubt, come on down. There is something for everyone.
It's the absolute talent. John, how can people actually reach you on the web, on the internet? Do you have a website you'd like to promote as well?
I do. www.johncampling.com. Super simple. Or at John Campling on the Twitter. Love for people to come and join me on Twitter. I'm very interactive and I don't just tweet about Potter. I tweet about my general day-to-day acting stuff, which is quite interesting.
I hope so. And as a Lambda graduate myself, I always think it's very important to sort of work through the thespian arts.
You have to, absolutely. And I think, you know, since I used to be the romantic lead and then I purposely turned into the villain. Much more fun. Anyone going into acting, be the villain, don't be the romantic lead. I get to have all sorts of crazy adventures.
John, we salute you. Hopefully we'll speak again in the near future and do sort of appraisals, and you could become one of our SF correspondents like Shane Rimmer and other colleagues around the base.
I look forward to it. Thank you for chatting.
And so we continue our audio promenade, and we're delighted to actually touch base with the legend that is
Martin Rotherham for Square Orange Art.
Martin, some of these images that we've got here from The Silence, from obviously Doctor Who, all Doctors represented here, plus of course classic Star Wars thing, and I see Samuel J. Jackson as Nick Fury and others, absolutely magnificent. So what has inspired you to move into the SF field?
Just the love of science fiction from an early age, from as long as I can remember. My dad liked it, and of course you tend to follow on.
You're speaking to John Campling, and he was saying how these events have slowly but surely moved mainstream. I'm reminded of Dave Golder when he was in charge of SFX magazine, speaking to some of our students at the University of Lincoln, saying the geeks shall inherit the earth. And here we are, geeking beside the seaside. There is a wonderful friendliness about that. It is professional, but at the same time, there's a friendliness. It's a friendly professionalism.
It is, absolutely. People come here because they're interested in the subject, and you're interested in the subject, so you chat. You spend all day chatting about the things you love. Couldn't be more friendly than that.
Absolutely. So, do you have any particular likings for... I mean, I know it could be like asking an artist to choose between their favourite children here, but, I mean, are we looking more Marvel? Are we looking more Star Wars? Are we more Doctor Who? Deadpool? Which one would you say, oh, yes, that's... I mean, I notice an absence of Star Trek, for instance.
It's not on purpose. People just ask me for a particular style of something, and that's where I produce. But actually, I like all of it. Star Trek included, they will come.
I just think because you're kind of more or less directly opposite both Garrett Wang and Larry Nemechek, so they might as well think, "Here's the Star Trek stuff then."
Yeah, that's slightly embarrassing, but we will get there.
So share with us, how did you actually get started in this whole field for people who are sort of saying, I want to be the next artist from this point of view?
I didn't do anything else from school. I went straight from school to college and straight from college to be self-employed. Never thought I could do anything else. It's endless practice, that's all it is.
And in terms of events, I mean, clearly we're very impressed with Sci-Fi Scarborough. This is our very first visit to Sci-Fi Scarborough, although we've been building up the anticipation on our Wednesday shows with both Steve and Andy, and indeed Larry. What are your thoughts on the event so far? I know we haven't opened the doors officially yet, but so far.
This is our first time here, but it seems pretty slick. Everybody's friendly again. They told us exactly where our table was, told us exactly where we need to park. Everything ran very smoothly.
Is important because there are certain other events, not sci-fi ones actually, but other country shows where sometimes that has been one of the issues, that exhibitors haven't known where their tables were, etc., etc. Of course, the great thing is even if it's blowing a tornado outside, you're indoors.
Absolutely, it's a huge plus. Of course, if there's passing traffic and it's raining, it drives them in.
You could almost have ordered it. A web address, how can people get in touch with your good self via the internet?
If you just look on Facebook for Square Orange Art, you'll find us.
Sounds almost Buddhist in its own routine, Square Orange Art. And a quick name check for your fabulous partner who's been setting up the whole thing.
Helen Holderness, she's the one in charge of making everything happen. I do the painting, she does the organising.
And sorts out the media interviews as well, so well done, Helen.
Everything.
The great thing about doing an audio promenade is sometimes you actually approach folk who think, well, there's a connection there, all sorts of things, and a fine gentleman whose name is...
Scott Roberts.
Has actually sort of pointed out that Chantel Roberts is obviously here with us now. It is the Chantel Roberts. How are you, Chantel?
Fine, and you?
Excellent. Looking, obviously, at Prayer for the Blood Angel. Share with us, what magical things can we find in this?
It's a high fantasy sci-fi, so it's based on, like, a universal scale, and it's got your general fantasy tropes, but I've put my own spin on things, and it's been going well so far.
Well, it's already something which gravitating to, because I think the cover, as ever, looks wonderful. I know you shouldn't judge a book by a cover. But in terms of that, events like this are really essential to sci-fi writers and authors to actually not just meet the fans, but also sort of spread the word as well.
Definitely. Especially if you're being self-published, this is pretty much the only way to do it. So you have to get out there, speak to the fans, get their feedback. So it's good. It's good to be here.
I know my colleague from Starburst magazine, Ed Fortune, will doubtless be sort of doing the rounds as well, and we'll be focusing on that. I detect a slight South African accent there, is that right?
Yes, I'm here from South Africa, all the way.
Which is always good, and clearly the weather is pretty much the same as in South Africa at this particular moment in time.
Oh yes. Grey skies and rain.
I just like to say, as I've pointed out a few times, that really what you've got here is a wonderful alternate dimension that you've just sort of experienced in terms of different climatic conditions. It's fantastic.
It's lovely. I'm loving it at the seaside.
So in terms of obviously your own interest in the genre, District 9, of course, was one of the sort of key elements that came through there. There's lots of sort of good stuff coming out of South Africa on a regular basis. What was it that first sort of spiked your interest in the field?
I have just always loved magic. From when I was a little girl, my dad used to read me magic books, and I've been writing ever since. But District 9, that was good. I feel a lot of dark things, you know, the more edgier writing comes.
And in terms of the generic film, obviously urban fantasy very popular these days. Sarah Pinborough, one of our sort of regular contributors to that. Sam Stone, of course, does a slight edge on that particular perspective. Can we look forward to multimedia approaches for Prayer for the Blood Angel?
I'm hoping so in the future, yes.
And how do people get in touch with you on the internet, via the World Wide Web, if they can't get to Sci-Fi Scarborough to catch up with you today?
They can find me on Facebook, and I should be opening my own author's page soon.